Kings win in overtime. What a great win. Oh, but they're supposed to be. Yeah, they're supposed to beat the Grizzlies by more than that. Whatever. It was a win they needed, and they came up with it through some adverse circumstances. So that's tremendous, and we celebrate today. Drapes is going to join us at some point. Drapes traveling with the team today. And I know some people have wondered, well, when are we going to hear Drapes' takes? We've got those coming up. We're just not sure yet when he's going to be able to join us. It's Whitey. It's Jay. We got Jerry Reynolds, bottom of the hour.
Legendary.
Yeah. Jay says, if you're ever wondering, well, who's a legend? What does it mean to be a legend? Jerry Reynolds is like, that's the example, right? Yeah. That's a legend. And then we also got, is it Alvin Williams going to join us?
Alvin Williams jumping on the show today. Mm-hmm. You know, former ball player, getting in, Toronto Raptors TV analyst to get us prepared for tomorrow's game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got all that yet to come here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. First things first, the latest on Kevin Huerter. According to the Kings, we don't have a lot of details, but the Kings had announced that Kevin Huerter has a dislocated left shoulder. So all we know is that he's out for the foreseeable. Well, does he need surgery? We don't know. Well, what's the prognosis? When's he going to be back? We don't know. You can find things on the internet. I know there's a lot of people that we've heard from already who have had shoulder dislocations. Don't know how much of that applies. We just know that we're not going to see Kevin Huerter for a while. And hopefully he'll recover quickly. I think I'm like Jay. I don't know about you. If you saw the play, my first thoughts were, wow, that, you know, some kind of fracture or something that could have been really drastic. So shoulder separation, shoulder dislocation, I should say. That's not nothing, obviously, but it's better than some sort of drastic, terrible bones through the skin types of compound deals.
Yeah. So. Yeah. When you first saw it, just the way his arm, you know.
Yeah, was it.
Flipped
it
and
looked sick.
Turned, yeah. Yeah, it did. That's a great word. It looked sick. Yeah, very sick. I was like, oh, man. Because one thing about it is you can root against people. You can dislike a person in their play. But you, when you're rooting for injuries, man, that's when it's over the top. You know, you don't want to see anybody injured. And so when it happened, it's like, oh, man, I don't know. You know, and I think we're kind of conditioned sometime to think of the worst that could possibly happen because we've seen the worst on the court. And so, you know, dislocated shoulder, I'm not the person dealing with the pain, Whitey. You aren't. I'm just hoping that it's not as bad as it first initially looked. It doesn't sound as bad as it initially looked, and I'm just trying to see the half glass full.
Yeah. I just remember a couple years ago when I was doing Warrior stuff, and Steph suffered a similar injury, and I remember the wording. They said he had a separated shoulder, and apparently there can be a little bit of a difference, so I want to be clear here. Sean Cunningham reporting that it's a left shoulder dislocation for Kevin Huerter. And then the rest of it, we just have to wait and see. There's a ton of variables, everything from does he need surgery, what kind, how bad is it, what grade, how does he feel, you know, how badly does he want to be back, will they allow him to push it? We don't know yet, so we'll see. So that means, as we've said, all the people that have called us and tweeted about it and wanted, Keon Ellis should be starting. For better or worse now, that's what we have. So it looks like Keon Ellis will be starting for the foreseeable. You know, last night, Mike Brown didn't want to go there for sure. He wanted to make sure he knew everything about, you know, Kevin Huerter's situation. But what does that mean? Where are we now? Keon Ellis is the starter now. So now what? What do you think that means, Jay? I think for one thing, it means the Kings are going to be at the start of games anyway. They will be able to bring a little bit more defensive energy than they had been bringing. And I think we've seen that the last few games. We've seen the impact he can have defensively.
Yeah, I like it. I think, you know, it takes a little more pressure off De'Aaron on the backside. And the other part, too, is I think this team has had, and we kind of expected Davion, but Davion's not in the starting five, and I think this is what you're asking, Whitey, is Keon has the ability to stick the best, the competitor's best player, you know. Now, if it's Kevin Durant, maybe it's a little different. But Devin Booker, he's going to be able to stick him. And so, you know, not stick him. But I think that gives you a different little outlook on the game as well, is they may be able to do a few different, you know, defensive looks with Keon being in there, which we've seen. We know Keon can guard, you know, the best player that he's facing. And we also know one thing that Keon has definitely showed me, he's not afraid to stick it, you know, put his face in it. He's going to go get it. He plays with a veracity. He's not scared. You know, I think he plays with a little physical. you know, physicality, as Mike Brown always likes to allude to. I think he is cut from the mold of what Mike Brown would like to see some of the Kings players be.
I agree. I was going to say that, and you beat me to the punch.
Oh, my bad.
No. I was right there with you. Keon Ellis plays the game the way Mike Brown wants his players to play the game. You know, like you say, now, obviously, if you had five Keon Ellis's, you'd have a hard time scoring, but he's a perfect fit for this team.
Well, not according to you, because you said his offense is coming around, and so
it is.
You got to stick to that. Yeah, you don't know, backtrack
on
that.
I'm not saying he's averaging 20 a game or anything.
Okay, but coming around could mean 15. Maybe now we've seen, you know, 8 to 10. He had 15 a couple of games ago. It eludes me who he had 15, you know, 5 games ago. I have to go back and look. But if he's starting and having a greater opportunity of minutes, then 12 points is coming around.
Yeah. The reason I said that, and you brought it up again, so I'll go there, because Drapes and I had this disagreement over that, and I said his offense was coming around, and Drapes was like, what are you talking about? What I meant was he was shooting the ball well, and Kyle kept saying, we can talk about this when Drapes is here. We'll have better things to talk about. I don't mean to talk about it when he's not here, but Jay brought it up. All I was saying was, yeah, he's not scoring a lot of points because he's not shooting a lot, but when he's shooting, he had been shooting the ball well. I think right now, what did he shoot in the last game? I think he took – oh, we're just hearing from Kyle Draper, by the way. He's going to be on. It looks like we'll hear from Kyle this hour. I think he had 8 shots in the last game against the Knicks. For me, that's about right. 8, you know, anything more than 8 with Keon Ellis is like, okay, that's kind of a lot of shots. So the good thing about that is that should open up more shots, more opportunities for others, including, I'm thinking, Keegan. Keegan has to get more shots here, right? I still think Keegan can be like, whoa. I think he can be consistently an 18-plus point scorer. I mean, as soon as this year, and I think this, it's unfortunate, very unfortunate that Kevin Herter's hurt. We wish him the best. Can't imagine how much it hurts. But I think there are opportunities here for Keegan that come out of this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a couple guys. Keegan, as you talked about, Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
We know Keon's definitely going to play a part in this. Davion probably gets thrown in the mix of some, you know, some part of this ingredient. There's going to be 4 or 5 guys who are, because of the Kevin Herter injury, who's going to play a factor in the minutes, rotations. And Keegan has to, and this is something that I think everybody that is a Sacramento Kings acquaintance, not even a fan, if you watch the games, I think everyone wants to see Keegan shoot more.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard it from every single coach on this show, every single week. Assistant coaches come on the show, tell you and Drapes, man, we want Keegan to shoot more.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Brown has said, I don't know what more I can do besides continue to keep, you know, letting him know and, you know, enticing him and hoping that he shoots more. I think that's what we're looking for. And maybe out of necessity, we get that, Whitey. I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah. The good news today on the injury front is the report that also from Sean Cunningham that Sasha is listed as questionable for tomorrow night. So he could play. Now we're hearing from Emmy. We hadn't heard from Emmy in a long time.
Oh, Emmy.
We're hearing
got the
from
update.
Emmy again. Yeah. And she's excited about that. So happy Sasha's finally listed as questionable. So it's great news for him, and it's really good news for the Kings as far as the timing, where you're down 2 rotation pieces now. If Sasha is ready to go, fingers crossed, but whoo, that could go a long ways towards alleviating some of the stress these 2 injuries place on your roster.
Yeah,
let's
Sasha. Love to see him jump out there.
Yeah.
And as you say, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a couple big buckets, a couple 3-pointers, you know, that quick release. We're looking for that. I'm excited to see, because I've been saying I don't really know what Sasha delivers in the NBA game and what he's done for the Kings, because it's been such a short sample size. I'm interested to see what he can do with some elongated minutes and a rotation piece where we know he's coming in. He's part of that rotation.
Mm-hmm. I think he's certainly going to get a chance now, but it's just, you know, the ankles, sprained one, sprained them both.
Yeah, it's tough.
We talked earlier about poor Steph Curry way back when he just couldn't keep his ankles healthy. Hopefully that's taken care of here and that's not going to be an issue the rest of the way. But the Kings are going to need all – I know this is cliche, but you're almost at a point here with these 2 injuries. All hands on deck, baby, the rest of the way.
I mean, there's a cliche for a reason because you in reality, you're going to need it.
Uh-huh.
You know, definitely. What about this? And this is something we haven't talked about. And maybe we could talk about it next segment as we're pushing up on time. I've been a proponent of getting Alex Lynn in the game a little more.
Huh. It's funny you say that. We saw an interesting look from Alex Lynn last night. I'll tell you, Jay, why he deserves more credit than he's getting today. When we come right back, we got Jerry, bottom of the hour, and it looks like Drapes this hour as well with Drapes Takes as we roll on here. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kings with a big win last night. Woo! Wasn't easy. I don't know why I never felt like they were going to lose. I guess there was a part of my mind that understood that the Kings don't always play well against shorthanded teams with poor records, but I just felt like, yeah, but these guys don't, they only have eight guys. And I know it came down to a final possession. They could have won the game in regulation, the Grizzlies could have, but I never felt, Jay, I honestly never felt like the Kings were in real danger last night. I know they were.
Really?
I just didn't feel that way.
I thought the fumbled handoff to De'Aaron was the one. And then when it was kind of like a give and take, when De'Aaron hit that shot, the lat to tie the game, and I was like, oh, that's too much time. That's too much time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we're talking about, you know, ever in doubt, that's when I thought, like, oh, this might not go well.
Yeah. Overtime game, so every point, obviously, vitally important, right?
Of course.
Yeah. That's why we need to give Alex Lynn a little more credit than he's getting. I almost asked Coach about this after the game. Didn't. Maybe I should have.
Come on, Whitey.
It was right at the end. It's like, I didn't, and then he had to go anyway. So, you know, when poor Kevin Huerter got hurt, he got fouled. So he's got to shoot free throws, but he can't. So you know the rule, right, Jay?
Of course.
Yeah.
They get someone can pick him.
Yeah. So they picked Alex Lynn.
I know.
Why in the world would you pick Alex Lynn? You could pick anybody. You could pick Slauson. Anybody who's active.
Yeah.
They picked Alex Lynn. I thought that was kind of dumb. But the point is, Alex Lynn deserves credit for coming in and knocking both those shots down.
I've been saying, get this guy more playing time.
Uh-huh.
You know, get him on the court and see what he can do with a few more ticks. But I'm with you. I'm pretty sure, and you know how this goes. I haven't checked to see who's shooting the lowest free throw percentage for the Sacramento Kings. But I also think that varies in the fact of how many attempts you've had, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure one of those statisticians, assistant coaches, whatever you want to call them, you know, interns over there for the Memphis Grizzlies, looked down and saw, you know, a number. It was like, oh, get him, Taylor.
Yeah,
get him, Coach.
Yeah. Said, who do we pick? And that's Lane's terrible. Pick him.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Big time.
Rick Barry style, baby.
Well, not quite.
Not without the underhand.
I don't know why nobody does that anymore. Well, I do know why. It looks terrible.
Yeah, because it makes you look, you know, not manly, I should say.
I guess. Except, boy, you knocked down 90% of your free throws. That's manly.
Hey, come on now. It gets your pocketbook looking real manly on Hub and Strong. I'm with you. Rick has definitely said this for big guys who – you know, we got to get Rick Barry on. We've had.
That's not hard.
No, Rick loves to talk basketball. Yeah. He's a big time fisherman, you know, so when he's not. I know he was tied to the big three the last few years.
He was a coach, I think.
Yeah, but he loves to come on, talk basketball. He loves to give you opinion. He loves talking about some of these youngsters compared to the old schools, you know, so he's not hard to get. But I've heard him say numerous times the big men with big hands. They should shoot underhand.
Right.
Because looking overhand, you know, he's like, oh, they got that little tic-tac in their hand trying to shoot it. And, shoot it underhand. Gives them better control is what he's talked about.
He always brought his hands a little bit over to the front of the ball and got that backspin. That, to me, is what no one understood about the way he shot those underhand free throws. But he used to do a regular feature on our morning show here on this station. I remember it was on
Brag about it then.
No. It was on Wednesdays because he used to call it Wednesdays with Wick. That's what that's what Rick Barry used to call it. Now I'm ready for Wednesdays with Wick.
Rick is a good dude, man.
Yeah. He was just in the news about something, complaining about, I think it was basically, they need to stop. They need to start calling carries and start calling fouls and just follow the damn rule book. You know,
see, he's like, old school like that.
That's Wick.
Yeah, see, he's old school. One thing about Rick Barry, I don't want to say he's misunderstood. He's a surly son of a gun, for sure.
Yeah.
He's definitely a stickler for the foundation of basketball.
He has in his mind, this is the way it should be done.
Correct. You know, his time, his area, how he grew up. But when you actually have time, and it sounds like you guys have talked to him, one thing about Ricky, he's one of the guys that has opinion on everything, everything. Like, you can throw anything towards Rick, and he's going to talk about it. You could talk about, like I said, he loves fishing and outdoors and stuff. You could talk about a car. He's like, oh, man, that car, you know, I like the old school Chevy Nova. You know, like,
yeah.
Rick is that type of guy, but I respect Rick because he's seen a lot of basketball. A lot.
He's underrated, I think. He was a great player.
Yeah.
He was a great, great passing forward, shooting forward. Maybe in some ways a little ahead of his time. He
For
was
sure.
ahead of his time in that he would, like, leave teams and go make more money with another team. And people that asked him, I was like, well, that's terrible. You can't do that. And it's like, people do it all the time now. He was, like, the first guy that did that. So he also taught us that, you know, he's from Florida. He said, hey, if you're ever running up an embankment and an alligator's chasing you, you got to run side to side, zigzag, because alligators, I don't even know if it's
what?
True. That's what he told
us.
He said, if you go in a straight line, the alligator can catch you. But if you go zigzag, it's tougher for the alligator. That's what Rick Barry.
Really?
That's what he told us. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, back to Alex Lynn. When Alex Lynn came in the game last night, because Memphis said we want him to shoot the free throws, there was, and I think it was about a minute. It was almost a minute exactly before Keon subbed for him. So you had that lineup that you're talking about where you had Sabonis and you had Alex Lynn on the floor at the same time.
The big fellas, the twin towers, the go-getters.
Like that,
huh? Yeah, I like it, man. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it puts the Kings at a deficit defensively, especially when teams, you know, bring out the big fellas and make them switch. Alex Lynn doesn't have quick feet. I think Domas has quicker feet. I just don't think Domas has a great grasp on how to handle all his extremities when he's, you know, out there on the three-point line. Alex Lynn is just not fleet of foot. And so, you know, there was a time or two last night you could see where he was guarding someone and they, you know, they brought him to the outside and they went that way. But if you could run the zone, which we've seen the Kings do a few times, I like to see what would happen. You know, now it definitely depends on who the other team they're facing is, you know, if they have some bigger pieces. But, you know, when they play like the Bulls, they play the Knicks, you know, teams who are a little slower, have bigger guys. Let's get Alex in there.
Alex
I would
Lynn,
like to see it.
He told Chris Watkins and I on Media Day, he said, coach is talking about having me and Sabonis on the floor at the same time, and he seemed excited about that. We've seen very little of it. It's funny you say that about the zone. I believe last night, after he made the free throws, they went to a zone, and he was on one side in the, you know, like the 3-2, and then it's him and Domas on the bottom, and the ball went to his corner, and he chased it out, and he missed, and then the guy drove around him, and the whole thing broke down. I think you're right. That's probably the biggest problem when he's out there with Sabonis is what happens defensively. But he's very productive, and that happens a lot. He plays 13 minutes, has 6 points. Has three rebounds. He's been a very productive reserve, especially for a guy that, remember a year ago, he didn't play at all. And then right before the playoffs started, he got some minutes here and there, and then came the Warrior series. Like, all right, Alex Lynn, you're playing again. So that's the mark of a professional player.
I like where you're going, Whitey.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is Alex Lynn needs a little more time in certain instances.
Maybe.
Oh, come
working.
On now.
If it ain't
I saw
broke.
You were getting ready
if
to wrap your lips
broke.
Up and say it.
It's working. Why? So why do you need to change it when it's like, wow, that's very productive the way it is? It's working out.
No, the last 3-4 games have worked out.
Yeah.
Not this. Don't let the Knicks physical game and the, you know, this game and maybe the Laker game, you know, detour you from saying that this team is not that good defensively.
Look, Jay, here's the thing, and you know this. You look at the standings, and what are they now? Are they 11 over 5? Yeah, they're 39-28, right? And I know there have been ups and downs, but they're 6 in the West. They're 39-28. That's pretty good. So whatever's been working, I don't feel compelled to say, we need to switch that up. If Alex Lynn has been playing well in limited minutes, well, then he needs to play more minutes. No, because this is working. In the last few games, there's indications that they're starting to get even better. That's good.
I don't trust it. I don't trust it. As Draper would say, stop reading the box scores, Whitey. Stop reading the box scores.
Okay, but I'm just looking at the part that says who won.
Yeah, well, that's
an important part.
But let me say this. They also played a depleted Memphis game, and here and now I'm arguing against the Kings wins. They played a depleted, you know, Memphis team. New York out-physicaled them.
That wasn't even a basketball game. I don't even count that.
All right, a football competition.
Yeah.
UFC, whatever we want to call it.
That was like Squid Game. It wasn't even football.
I think, you know, the Laker one was good. The Milwaukee was, you know, was good. But there's some games that they lost. Hold on.
Time out. You kind of glossed over those
two. No.
Dominant wins over the Lakers and the freaking Bucks. Well, that was good. But, no, those were huge wins.
But they didn't absolutely just, like, lock down. Like, the Bucks didn't come to play. Can we agree on that? Like, the Kings didn't do a
fight. They got in that rock fight with Keon Ellis. Dame, and I love Dame. I know you love. I think you
love Dame.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know I was going to have an evening like this.
Okay, I'll go. How about 10 games back? Can you give me 10?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So 10 games back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So 10 games back was the loss to Denver. 117-96. That wasn't good defense. Minnesota in overtime, 124-120. That wasn't good defense.
That's not bad in overtime, 120.
Okay, but the game.
That's not bad.
That was without Anthony Edwards on the second half. Remember that.
De'Aaron Fox.
Understandable. I get you. That doesn't mean good defense. Chicago, 113-109. That was a slow game.
There were moments where they were playing pretty good defense.
Very true.
The offense let them down.
DeMar absolutely abused them. The win against the Lakers, 130-120.
Awesome.
Okay. That was awesome.
Yeah.
The first win?
Anytime you beat the Lakers.
Okay, I'll give you that. I agree with that. San Antonio, 131-129 with no Victor Wembanyama.
What's the question again?
You lose.
Not a great defensive effort.
You lose to Houston.
I'll give you that.
Okay, you lose to Houston, 112-104. Then you have Milwaukee, Los Angeles.
Boom, boom.
I'll give you those two.
Yeah.
New York, great physical. I mean, good physical. Was defense there?
But see, here's the problem with going back 10 games.
Oh, here Keon, we go.
Keon wasn't playing 10 games ago.
That's true.
He's only been playing the last, five or whatever it is.
That's
true. That's where the defense has been better.
Okay.
So that's,
it's, well, I asked for 10. You want to cut it in 5. So can we, you know, fair exchange, no robbery. They've been playing better defense, but not the best of their ability.
With this team, it might be.
You think this is the best they can get defensively?
Maybe. I think I think they're showing some real.
We're in trouble, Whitey.
Yeah. Well, that may very well
be. Okay, all right.
Jerry can tell us more about that. We'll see what Jerry thinks of this defensive question. And what do the Kings do now with Kevin Huerter sidelined for the foreseeable with a shoulder dislocation? We'll find out from the Kings legend, Jerry Reynolds. Also got Drapes coming up this hour as well. And the Drive guys, Jay is playing a little Mellencamp here for two very good reasons. One, I just saw a story that Mellencamp was doing a show somewhere and he was talking between songs and people started heckling him and saying, shut up, play songs. And he's like, he got really mad and he's like, oh, I'll just play fewer songs and I'll talk more. And eventually he just left in the middle of his set. He didn't appreciate being heckled. But the main reason we play that is because our next guest was actually one of his teachers in, I believe, a tennis class. Let's find out. All-time Kings icon and legend, Jerry Reynolds with us. How are you, Jer?
I'm really good. And, yeah, I appreciate playing a little Mellencamp. I think that's great. You know, I'm sorry to hear he's getting a little crusty in his old age. I'm not surprised, by the way, because he just my little short experience with him. He was a little on the edge.
Was it tennis class that you had him in?
It was a racket sports class. So yeah, that was badminton and tennis. And I don't recall. You know, he had a tendency to in that one semester he's there to miss quite a few of them.
Jer, we were just having a discussion here about the Kings defense, which appears to be, you know, it looks like they're getting some traction there. Jay he's much wiser than I am, and he's like, you know, a little skeptical. He wants to see more. But what stands out to you about how much better the Kings defense seems to be over the last four games or so?
Well, I do think it's better. I think, you know, I kind of like what Coach Brown's doing, playing a little more zone. I think that, you know, gives him a little tempo change. And, of course, the fact that Duarte and Ellis, you know, getting more time, I think they bring a little bit of a physical focus to the defensive end. And I got to say, I Duarte's growing on me a little.
Really?
He's growing on me a little, yeah. I'm about ready to take back some of the bad words I said about him early in the year.
Legend, are you, and I know you have a very keen eye compared to me, do you see there, speaking of defense, how much has Keon Ellis really, you know, I guess, as Whitey said, pushed his defense to being salvageable?
Well, he really has, because, you know, he's one of those guys that can guard, certainly on switches, he can guard just about anybody. I mean, preferably he's very comfortable guarding ones or twos, you know, up to 6'5", 6'6". He has no problem with that. And the other part is, I think he's really not just a good individual defender, but he has a real sense of team defense. And he really is great at help. And, you know, like I say, his on-ball defense probably isn't any better than Davion's. But, you know, his help defense, he's kind of a small version of Michael Cooper in my mind. Old people would remember how good Coop was in the days with the Lakers. But, you know, he was 6'6", so he guarded, you know, basically big guards and small forwards, whereas Keon's more of a 1-2 kind of guy.
Jared, that's actually a very current reference compared to some other ones we've had today. We talked a lot about Rick Barry, and we were comparing the Kings to the 79 Sonics with, you know, Jack Sikma as Sabonis, and I think Gus Williams is De'Aaron Fox, and Malik Monk is Freddie Brown. So we've just been spending quite a lot of time wandering down memory lane today.
Yeah, well, you sure have. I mean, and then you'd had Keegan Murray as John Johnson, I suppose,
that
too, right?
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, of course, I remember John Johnson and Freddie Brown when they were junior college players, when I was coached in junior college. And, you know, Freddie punished us a little bit. And, yeah, they were, that was one of those unusual teams that didn't have, a championship team, but they didn't really have a top. None of their best players were top five guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they had some all-stars, but, you know, a little bit like the 2004 Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I think those two teams both had some probably more talented teams kind of get beat due to injuries and give them their chance, not to take anything away from them. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going back, fellas. That challenges me a little bit.
Kevin Huerter, we found out today it's a dislocated left shoulder. Other than that, we don't know. You know, we don't know the surgery or when he could be back. We don't know. So it looks like Keon Ellis is starting for the foreseeable. How does that, would you guess, affect the rotation and the offense? I mean, that's more shots for somebody else if Keon's in and Huerter's out, right?
Yeah, I would say probably, clearly they're going to play Monk every minute he can play. And certainly, you know, Monk doesn't need any encouragement to get one up, and he shouldn't. But I think Keegan Murray might benefit the most in that situation, because he'll need to look for his shot a little bit more. And I think Domas can find him on some of the dribble handoffs and just screens and things like that. So I think he'll benefit the most. I think Keon is going to make shots. He's going to make open shots. But he's really not going to force the issue there. He's looking to defend, to move the ball, and take the shots that the defense gives him.
Talking with the legendary Jared Reynolds. Legend, this is something me and Whitey have kind of talked about a little bit today, and you know, it sounds like Sasha Vezinkov is close. And when I say close, it could be as tomorrow or maybe 2 weeks from now. So I want to make sure I put that preface at that. But with your experience with 15 games left and, you know, Sasha kind of not playing a lot this season, what would you try to implement him into the rotation right now, or would you kind of hold back on that?
Well, I think you'd want to try to get him some minutes, and I know exactly what you're saying. It's a good point, but I think with Trey Lyles out, there's probably minutes for him, and because the one thing about him, I think, with Sasha, you know, that besides making shots, I mean, he's a pretty tough customer. You know, he competes and rebounds per minute about as well as Lyles, if not better. So I think, you know, it's probably a pretty good chance to get him some minutes to see, maybe get some idea of how he can be used. And I think that's one of the great things about Coach Brown. I think he's really good at kind of spotting guys to find out if maybe, you know, where they can help him.
Yeah, the great Jerry Reynolds with us here. Jerry, this is a good day to talk about officiating because the Kings won, so it doesn't come across as a lot of belly aching. But De'Aaron Fox has mentioned a couple times postgame now how they're calling the games differently. He said after, the Laker game, he said, we can pretend they're not calling it differently, but they are. He talked last night after the game just in passing about, you know, you're getting tackled out there. Have you noticed any difference? It appears that they're letting more go now. And if that's true, do you think that might help or hurt the Kings, given that they're not the strongest defensive team?
Well, I really do agree. They're calling it. They're letting a lot of more stuff go.
Yeah.
I think in general, I like it. I mean, they're allowing it to be a more physical game, not so many tic-tac fouls. I don't really like them to hit Domas in the face and force him to double dribble. I wasn't in favor of that type stuff. But, I think in the long run, I think more, you know, it's like the Knick game. I got to be honest, I enjoyed that type of defense. You had to earn your baskets.
Uh-huh.
You know, every point you kind of was – so it was a little bit of a throwback, you know, not quite to the Bad Boy Pistons or anything. But, they're allowing more stuff to go. They're giving defenders a little better chance, you know, where the guards dribble in and jump into them, and they're not – given automatically those guys free throws when they create the contact. So all in all, I'm in favor of how they're letting them more physical. I'm not in favor of the fact that some of their refs aren't very good. That bothers me.
Do you think that might help the Kings, a team that struggles defensively, if you get you're allowed a little more leeway?
Well, I think it'll help some. It could. I mean, I think the Kings have to be basically ready to play more physical because you'll be allowed to. I think there's other teams that it might benefit even more, you know, like the Nuggets, for one. Not that they need a lot of help. Of course, I think it'll help sadly, it'll help the Lakers. That's the way I always look at it. I want to look at first who it might help the most.
Yeah.
And that I don't like that. I mean, in my mind, if it helps the Lakers at all, then I'd just assume they do something else.
Jerry, Memphis, Toronto, Washington, Orlando. When I see those four games, for me, and it's not a make or break here for the Kings by any means of stretch, because you have Dallas right after that and Phoenix out the back end. But with that being said, you've been in the coaching position. You see those four teams, and you know you're in a fight. What are you saying to yourself?
Well, you're saying these are games. They're not only winnable games, but they're games that must be won. But they're road games, and so I saw even when all games on the road, good teams, bad teams, they're always hard to win. But as you pointed out, I mean, you've got the Phoenixes and the Dallases coming up. Far more important games, but get the wins where you can, and that gives you a little bit more of flexibility, because you know some of those games later on against the better teams are going to be a little harder to get even. So Washington, Toronto are struggling. They got guys out. So go get the W's. And now, Orlando's a different deal. I mean, they're a nice young team, and they're fighting for a spot. So you're going to get them at their best.
Coach, we'll let you go on this one. Appreciate your time. I Phoenix is, they've got those three stars, but their schedule's really tough. I'm starting to think it comes down to the Kings and Dallas for that sixth spot, and they've got two games coming up next week. Do you agree? Do you think maybe this is going to be a two-team race for the sixth spot?
Well, I think it's those three. I think Phoenix, Dallas, and the Kings are really going to be in it. I'd kind of felt that Dallas would be the third of that group. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
Getting Gafford was a big addition for them, and I think he's made them better. So it bothers me that they've gotten better as both those teams got better.
Yeah.
You know, picking up guys, Royce O'Neal for Phoenix. So, yeah. By the way, you said the Phoenix got three stars. I'm not at all sure Grayson Allen in the star.
Ah.
That guy makes shots and makes plays and asked the Bucks if they kind of, I don't know if they admit it, but they kind of miss him.
Oh, and how about, speaking of the Suns, they added one of your favorites is back, Isaiah Thomas.
IT.
Yeah, gosh, that's great to see IT. I mean, that guy, what a sad thing. There it was, third in MVP that year and played hurt, got 52 in a game seven, played on a bad hip, and of course his sister had passed in a car accident. I mean, the guy, one of the all-time best guys ever. It was in Sacramento, and of course Kings traded him for chopped liver, and a brilliant move, I might add. the guy is just a terrific player when he's here, and he was terrific. Like Danny Ainge told me once, he said, yeah, we weren't very good. When we got Isaiah Thomas, we became a playoff team.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, there you go.
Good to see. Thanks as always. Appreciate it very much. Talk to you soon,
Jared. All right, guys, be good. Okay. Take care. Thanks.
Yeah. There you go. I know that Isaiah is one of his all-time favorites.
I like where you went with that.
Let's see. Do we have Drapes coming up next?
5:15.
5:15. Yeah. All right. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. How the Kings season could come down to the next six games when we come right back. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks to the great Jerry Reynolds for joining us. If you missed that, you might want to check that out when we get that on the website. Jerry letting his feelings on the Isaiah Thomas trade known. Anyway, we appreciate that.
Just had some inside information there, Whitey.
Yeah, yeah. Also want to thank everybody, those who are on Twitter, who have liked my stupid Destiny's Child song. Did you see that, Jay?
I have not seen the new Destiny's Child song.
Yeah, so appreciate that. Just having a little fun there. And I'm still checking into the legalities as to whether we could play those on the air. And just because we could doesn't mean we should.
Yes.
Are you ready for a new roarsome adventure? Legoland California Resort, teaming up with Sacktown Sports to get you and the family down to beautiful Southern California for an exciting adventure of a lifetime. Discover Dino Valley, opening this Friday, March 22nd. Bricktastic Lego dinosaurs roam at Legoland California Resort. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Looking for caller number, what do you think, Jay?
Six.
Caller number six. To score those family four packs of Legoland California Resort tickets, book now at Legoland.com/California, and for more information visit sacktownsports.com. can we go to JR real quick before we get the winners here?
Of course. Yeah, we'll get to JR. Yeah. And it's perfect time to go down to Legoland right now, by the way.
How so?
It's beautiful weather right now.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR's been hanging on. Thanks for hanging, JR. What's up?
Hey, well, I was going to talk to you about my guy Rick Barry, as Drapes would say. But, man, the great Jerry Reynolds, JR, just has a lot of stuff to unpack.
Yeah.
Hold on here. First of all, never knew the John Cougar history, Mellencamp, whatever John Cougar, Mellencamp the third, whatever his name is nowadays.
Sure.
Wow. So Jerry Rice. That's how good he is. He's a goat. I'm calling Jerry Reynolds Jerry Rice. Of course, knew the great Larry Bird.
Yes, they were, and they still are, really, I mean, honestly, really good friends. Really good friends.
I think he make Larry Bird paint his fence or something. I forget what the story is, but.
Sure.
And then he also had John Cougar Mellencamp in his class.
Yeah, in his racket class. And he told me one time, like, he was kind of a funny sort of duck or something like that. But yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait, and sometimes you're like, okay, hold on. You just make his stuff up. Then he's talking about guys he coached back in the 40s or whatever it is, But. His knowledge of the game, and I just love the Isaiah Thomas. That is so funny.
Yeah.
Because that story is deep, and there are people involved that probably are buried in deserts and in oceans, and the story
Yeah. It's just too funny that he's like, no, that was not the right way to do things. He's not happy about it.
Right.
Oh,
right.
He's so great. But you're right. Hey, my take simply is you're right about Alex Lynn. You know what?
Really?
Don't pick him. Yeah. Did you say they could have selected Slamson?
Yeah.
I thought that would be an interesting.
Scott
like the Slamson as a mascot. And
Scott Freshour, you know, the guy, the Scott Moak, they could have selected him.
Yeah, the five, the starting five, Scott Moak. Oh, that would have been funny. Yeah, that was 2 points we needed there at the end of regulation.
Did so you feel, RJ, or JR, pardon me, JR.
Yes.
Did you feel at any point, were you like really worried? Because I know I should have been, but I was never really worried that they were going to lose that game.
I didn't feel worried, but I think Jay said the one with the handoff under the basket where Sabonis handed it off. Was he trying to hand it off to Fox, and he lost it?
Yeah.
I went, oh, bonehead move. And then I also, the same thing with Jay, thought, okay, you scored a little too early.
Yeah.
I think there were 7 seconds. And, boy, that was a horrible shot that they took in the last second.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? That's how they've been playing. And then Monk, you better do the Monk song because he, we love him. He is the new Bobby Jackson in my era. I mean, just so lovable. He's got to drive Coach a little crazy, but he just gives him that leash to do whatever he wants. And those dunks last night, my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The whole game was a freaking highlight reel. Especially the one that he didn't count where he blew the whistle.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so funny. And then they interview him after the game. It's just like a little kid that just played on the playground. Yeah, I had a good time. When I'm called on, I just shoot.
Yep.
Oh, he's a Kentucky player all the way through. So, good win. And they, hey, as long as they win, 2 of the 3, I think we're good on this road trip. All righty. Out.
Gotcha. Thanks. By the way, Malik last night, in that session, just as he was about done, I think he was getting up and someone asked him, I think it was Tony asked him, something about the dunks and the energy or which one was his favorite, something like that. And Malik said, I don't know, because I had like 3 of them. And then he laughs and walks off. So I think he's one of those guys. Funny, because we're just talking to Jerry Reynolds about Isaiah Thomas, the pizza guy. And I think Malik has what it takes. No matter what happens down the road, hopefully he'll be here forever. He's close to, if he's not there already, being one of those all-time Sacramento fan favorites. And that's saying a lot. And he just got here last year. So maybe that's premature, but that's why I say if he's not there yet, he's on track to be that, Jay, because I think already fans have that special appreciation for him that even though Sacramentans, we love our Kings, there's a few guys that are like special, and I think he's at or certainly approaching that level.
Yeah, he has the affinity of the Sacramento community. And the Kings fans, and there's a hierarchy to all of it. We understand that. He's definitely quickly working his way up the hierarchy of becoming, not only a fan favorite, but a legend. Like people around here, they treat Bobby Jackson, Doug Christie, those type of team, that team, that era.
And it's Jay so cool Will. That Bobby coached him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we had Bobby on for the show last week. It was the last week?
I think so.
Yeah, because he broke the record last week, and he talked about how great their relationship is. And that's what I'm looking forward to, what is in store next. And I'm just speaking positive. I think he'll be here for the foreseeable future, next 3, 4, 5 years or whatever. And let's ride it out. Let's ride it out together. And hopefully, he can do some great things.
When we have that conversation about whether he should be starting, one of the things that you hear a lot from the people, and I'm one of them, that say he really shouldn't be starting, is that he brings that energy. He comes off the bench and has that instant impact. And Hunter Patterson from The Athletic, we've also had him on, of course.
Friend of the show.
Wonderful writer, yeah. Mm-hmm. He tweeted yesterday, he said, I don't think there's anybody that brings the energy from the crowd like Malik does when he enters the game. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's not just, and his teammates feel it too, but when he comes into the game and Scott Moak says, also in the game, number 0, Malik Monk! And people are just, he hadn't even done anything yet. And people are like, yeah! Yeah, Malik. And he's just standing there.
That's true. I'm with all of that. But I think it's because the way he plays.
Yes.
The passion he shows. Malik is the type of guy, he does something well. You see him throwing his ass. I'm throwing my arms up. Like he's waving the crowd. He brings that out of fans and on top of the exciting things that he does. But I think he doesn't, I don't want to say he wears his emotions on his sleeve, but I also think
he
welcomes that.
Yeah,
he welcomes that.
Uh-huh.
He's looking for the backup from the fans. He wants to hear the crowd. I think it pumps him up. You know,
yeah.
I think he goes with the wavelength of what the fans do. And we don't always see that, not only from ball players, but I think for me, that's kind of been part of the thing that lacks with this part of this identity of the Sacramento Kings right now. Is there's not a lot of guys who are rah-rah guys, and that's okay because you don't have to be that. But for Jay, for me, I like to see one or two of my guys be that way.
Yeah.
You know?
And he feeds off the energy. He says, I feed off the positive energy.
Yeah.
I feed off the negative energy. So it's just the energy. He feeds off it, and it's like you get that. And then he gives it back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
they give you 3-4 buckets in a row, and Malik is skipping, and he's got that
yes,
look on his snarl, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, you just get excited with him.
When we come back, we'll get the intel on tomorrow night's Kings opponent when Alvin Williams, he's former NBA player, analyst for the Raptors, joins us next, and Drapes coming up from Toronto as well, the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.